Shalom, Haverim. That's Hebrew for peace to you, our friends. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on WHKW 1220 Christian Radio and on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. I'm John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher and minister, the Reverend Sheila Crawford. We pray you will be challenged tonight by the next hour of Bible study to become a mature Christian, trusting in Yeshua, equipped to do all good works, and to let your light shine in this dark world. And that's our prayer for you. Tonight's study is the second in our two-part study on Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights. We're going to begin in prayer. Abba, in the name of your Son, Yeshua, we thank you for the opportunity to broadcast the truth of your awesome word again for our listeners and our supporters and their families. And may you extend the wings of your protection over all of us. Remember those of our brothers and sisters in all parts of the world right now, your church that's being persecuted. Lord, diminish their pain. Make your glory shine to them as they're being persecuted. And use that as for proclaiming your name and saving even more people. And remember also, Lord, those who have written us and phoned us and emailed us with their request for healing and salvation, and for salvation for their loved ones, I should say, and answer each one in your mercy. And, of course, thank you for those hearing this program for the first time tonight. And we thank you, as always, for your spirit that you have given us to guide us to the truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That was a wonderful prayer. I feel his presence right now.
Amen to that. And we love his presence here.
Yes, we do. And I'd like to say Hag Hanukkah Sameach to all the listeners today.
That's very nice of you. Now, we'll be finishing our teaching on Hanukkah. But first, we do, I think we have some news.
we do.
Yes, we do. Okay, well, I want to talk about, for a long time, John, I've been talking about the Jewish temple being rebuilt on the Temple Mount, and we know that Scripture tells us that it will be rebuilt. But many have thought through the years that it must be on the area of the Dome of the Rock where it stands now, and that somehow there would be this big earthquake and the Dome of the Rock would just come tumbling down.
They said it couldn't be there because that's where the Dome of the Rock is.
Right. Well, that's wrong.
I know you say that to everybody.
I do say that to everybody. No, actually, I believe that the Holy of Holies really is more over to the right. When I stand at the gate, when I was in Israel, at the Eastern Gate, the Dome of the Rock was actually more to the left when facing it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went straight from the gate, there was room to put a temple there. And we can go into that at another time, and it's not what this program's about today, but the news is pertinent in the fact that not only have I taught that the temple can be built next to the Dome of the Rock, but I've also said many times that I believe that a Catholic church will probably be built on there also, representing the three religions on the Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. And after the true church is gone, those three church religions will come together and say, well, we all worship the same God, and that will be the basis for the one world religion. Now, I said all that to say this. The very first time that I was in Israel, not only did I believe that you could have three churches, but I also saw that there really is plenty of room. And now the Vatican is openly declaring that they want a Catholic church on top of this mount as well. So what I've been saying would probably happen is now being openly declared by the Vatican. Now, secret negotiations, I am told, have been going on really since the 93 Oslo Agreement. I mean, you know, this all happens beforehand, and then it's announced as if
then
it's a new idea.
Yeah, but I do remember you saying an awful lot about this three religions being vying for the Temple Mount.
Well, and we already see it. There are some. Now, let me just preface this by saying there are some born-again Catholics. Praise God and hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the Catholics that are not born again, that continue to say and believe that, well, just being a Catholic, I'll get to heaven, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
But they will easily join this one world religion. In fact, I've been hearing out of their mouths that, well, we all worship the same God as the Muslims do.
And you've heard that out of the mouths of evangelicals, too, which is getting kind
mainline.
Of... mainline. Yeah. Mainstream churches.
Well, at one point, I didn't think there were mainline evangelicals, but I'm realizing now that even evangelicals' name is being corrupted.
Yes.
Really. Mm-hmm. So now I try to differentiate myself by calling myself a fundamental Christian Zionist.
Well, that's your... Now I'm totally confused.
Well, that just means I believe that Israel has to have their own homeland. That's what a Zionist is.
Oh, okay. I thought you said scientist.
No! No, Zionist.
Zionist.
Okay. I was wondering, you had a confused look on your face.
I know. I said, oh, no, here we go.
Okay, but anyway.
Yes.
As you know, the ongoing peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians really continues to falter. I mean, nothing is really getting done.
Mm.
So the Vatican has now demanded also that they should have sovereignty over the Christian Catholic religious sites in the old city of Jerusalem.
Sovereignty.
For they want these areas to be safeguarded. And they also believe it can only be done with an internationally global guarantee agreement. Mm. Now, see, this is all going to be part of that treaty that Daniel 9, 24 through 27 talks about. That's going to be in there. You'll see. Well, we won't see. Praise God. But anyway, they want Israel to relinquish sovereignty over the Temple Mount, which is, of course, Judaism's most sacred site. And it's really sad because at this point, Israel lets the Catholics do just about anything they want to do with the areas of their, you know, the Holy Sepulchre and the Garden of Gethsemane. They really can do just about anything they want.
Yeah, I think that's very good. I think that's very,
it's very
big
good
of Israelis to do that.
But now the Vatican says that's not enough. They want to actually have sovereignty. So to take it away from the Jews.
So is the Vatican being bad again?
Well, you know, just like anything, I guess, people, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But that sounds like something that the Palestinian Authority would demand.
Well, and that could be, too, yes.
In fact, maybe that's why the Vatican
actually wants it, because they're afraid maybe the Muslims would get it, because maybe Israel would give that away as part of their land giveaway. So, I mean, I could see some, you know, reasons for it. But the main thing about it, here's what I'm trying to get to. This is all foreseeing this end-time scenario where Zechariah 12 says that Jerusalem would be as a stumbling stone, a stumbling block. And we can see this happening right now in front of our eyes. We've seen it for a while.
What is in Jerusalem? I mean, come on, really. You've visited there. Mm-hmm. There's holy sites, okay? But there's no oil. There's no great riches.
There's not even water.
There's no water. There's no strategic value to it. It's not the, you know? Mm-hmm. So why is it in the news, and why does world peace seem to just pivot on this one area in the middle of Israel called Jerusalem?
Well, for one thing, Satan knows that it's God's terminal, you know, where he's going to have the, you know, everything's going to be from Jerusalem. He's going to bring heaven down at one point. And maybe he knows that. But the other thing is that God prophesied that it would be a stumbling stone because it is really his land as far as his headquarters and the new temple of Jesus will be there.
So this isn't a power struggle between countries or religions.
We will rule and reign from Jerusalem, John.
Okay, and this whole thing is not a power struggle between religions or political power struggle. This is a power struggle between God
and Satan. Oh, sure it is.
Yeah.
But we're seeing it.
We're seeing it.
You know, it's just, I don't know, pretty exciting. I think it's an exciting time to be living in the United States or anywhere in the world right now.
It's an exciting time to be a Bible student as well, because we're seeing the things that are written, some in this case of Daniel, over 1,000, over maybe 3,000 years ago. So, and coming to pass right in front of our faces. So anyway, we'll be covering more on this, and I'm sure next year in our radio program.
Sounds funny. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, next year, our radio program, we'll have a couple of back-to-back shows, January the 22nd, Sunday, and January the 29th. You know, so be here at 6 p.m., and we're going to cover this even further. Now, what's going on in the Mideast? Because you had some...
Well, yeah, we've got to
talk
Syria.
About
Syria continues to murder its own. And it's because they're protesting Assad's regime. while adding military at its land borders. It has military, army all around the borders of Syria. Plus, they've got ships in the Mediterranean. Okay, so they don't know what's going to happen. Israel is prepared. Iran is ready as well, and is actually helping Syria and probably egging Syria to attack Israel. And as I'll say in a few minutes, Assad needs to do something, and it might be to attack Israel to get the thoughts off of what's happening there. But we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on that.
And, of course, here in the United States, we continue to digress in just about all areas that you can mention. So we'll not worry about what they all are, because they're just about every single one.
Too numerous to mention.
Yes, exactly.
In our time frame here.
But our troops now, as of this morning, I guess, have left Iraq. You know, but here's something that you really aren't hearing, and I've been listening carefully to the mainline news, is that many of our troops from Iraq are just being transferred or moved over to northern Jordan, which is on the Syrian border. Now, they might get a quick leave for Christmas, but when they go back, they're going to go somewhere, either Afghanistan or most probably Jordan right now.
Well, why would you think that they would do that? I mean, put them back in Jordan.
They're watching Syria, because Syria just put all these military on the borders and that, so they're not sure what Syria's got planned or if Iran's going to help Syria do something to Israel.
Oh, okay. So Syria seems like they may be on the attack for some reason.
Well, they've got to get the mindset off of what's happening there, the protesters and stuff.
Okay. I understand. Okay.
So, you know, it's interesting that, maybe we needed our military out of Iraq because we need them in other places.
That could be.
You know, and Obama then, of course, fulfills his campaign promise to get the troops out of Iraq. He doesn't say, well, I'm just going to send them next door.
He didn't say anything about home. He just said out of Iraq.
Some are coming home, the older ones.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good news for the families.
We also, did you know, too, that we have it's called the U.S. Fleet? The U.S. 5th Fleet, stationed in Bahrain.
Well, the U.S. 5th Fleet is an awesome fleet, and I have no idea where Bahrain is. I think I used to know. Wasn't it in around the Persian Gulf somewhere?
It sure is. Yeah, it's like right off of the Saudi Arabia. It, to me, just looks like a very large island. It's certainly not very big.
Let me see.
And it's in the Persian Gulf. So we have the U.S. 5th Fleet stationed in Bahrain. Now, I'm not sure how many that is.
I'll tell you, one U.S. carrier stationed in the Persian Gulf could almost take care of the whole region.
Yeah, well, we have that, too, in the Persian Gulf. And so, of course, we have to keep an eye on the Strait of Hormuz. One more thought.
Ooh.
If we do anything to Iran, it's already promised that they will somehow stop ships from carrying oil through the Strait of Hormuz, which, by the way, is 15.5 million barrels of crude oil pass through this strait every day, and it's only like 34 miles wide at its narrow point.
And that's an old threat, isn't it, from Iran, that they would shut down the
strait? Yeah, they've
the
always kind of threatened that, and that's why we have ships over there, but now we've got like 2 and 3 times that.
Wow.
Not being told now. See, everything's a secret, and you have to kind of... I got some information from somebody that actually lives over there and who has a son in the Israeli Defense Force.
Okay.
And he can't say a lot.
Right.
But certainly a lot more than what you hear on the news.
That's right.
Even Fox News anymore doesn't say anything.
Well, you know...
It saddens me.
And there's people that are in our military, and they're, you know, on leave, and when they come, they're not saying a lot either. And I think there's a reason for that.
Of course.
You know. You're
not allowed.
Yeah.
okay, so... We've got aircraft carriers, battleships, along with submarines, not to mention Israel's presence there with her submarines in the Persian Gulf as well, and now in the Mediterranean. So they're just like all over there.
Okay. And this gets right back to Jerusalem.
It sure does.
Israel.
But let me remind you, too, and it's something a lot of people aren't thinking of, that with our leaving Iraq, something goes with us. And it's, remember the United States had control of the Iraqi airspace when we were there.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that was a major barrier to an Israeli attack on Iran's nuclear program, because Washington says no, they wouldn't let them, which really was the only practical way for Israel's planes to reach Iran. So now Israel can reach Iran because Iraq has no air force and no means of controlling the skies over its nation.
Well, so, Sheila, while its air defense radar could potentially see Israeli planes heading towards Iran, they wouldn't be able to do anything to stop them.
That's right.
Right?
However, John, the reverse is true as well. It will also be easier for Iranian forces to strike at Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, who's going to go first?
Bet I know.
Now, remember, I also said last week that Syria would love to divert attention away from his protesters so the world would focus on other matters and that Syria would help Iran as well as Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Hamas, and now maybe even the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. They could all get together and attack Israel. Now, they are entering a crisis moment. The silent war that is happening now, in my opinion, will almost certainly be replaced by an open war in the very near future. We are seeing the pieces moving into place for a great conflict of nations that really could reshape the future of the Middle East.
Perhaps Psalm 83, the prophecy of Psalm 83 coming to pass.
That's right. You know, it's probably time we teach on that again. Maybe we'll do that in January. But or at least Isaiah 17:1, where Damascus is going to be flattened.
And it's never been, probably the oldest city in the world, never been flattened or destroyed.
But the Bible says it will be.
And
so, and again, these are all signs, all fulfillments of Scripture that tell us Jesus is going to be calling us up very soon indeed.
Wow.
How about that?
That is. And that's why we need to be ready and we need to be telling people.
That's right. But now remember, other nations have come against Israel before.
They have.
God never slumbers or sleeps when it comes to Israel. He's in control. He's at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
The whole state of Israel is a miracle.
Oh, yeah. And it's not going anywhere.
And that's the secret of their successful military is that God is comes out and fights for them.
That's right. Now, he does chastise them on occasion and has, but there's always been a remnant left, okay, and it won't be any different this time. Although, again, the tribulation is coming, and that is a major chastisement on Israel. Let's face it, they haven't been really godly lately.
Well, they seem a lot like us.
Yeah.
Over here. I mean...
That's true. They are.
Yeah.
Morals are down and, you know, the whole bit. But anyway... now would be a good time, I think, to get our break out of the way.
Yeah, I want to talk about Hanukkah again.
Yes, I know.
Because,
we're going to get to that, part two.
Because that's fun.
That's right. And you know what? If you didn't get last week's show, I would encourage you to go to my webpage, shofarministries.net, click on the radio podcast, and you can listen to last week's program.
That's great.
But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the spinning top called the dreidel, which is played during Hanukkah, and I think we even have a song that'll make everybody keep that in their mind till we come back.
Oh, yes. And Shofar Ministries, I want to remind everyone, is a 501c3. Any and all tax donations are tax deductible, and they're extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Now, you can use PayPal on our web or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address if you have one, and check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are right there for you to listen to, plus DVD teachings are available, and they do make a great gift. And our event calendar is there, too, so you can keep up with us when we have Shofar Assembly, which comes up every first Friday of every month, and I think next January 6th, I think, we'll be there at 7 o'clock, Chester Christian Center. And stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We're going to be right back after a short break and a great song and a great segue into our continued teaching of Hanukkah and about the dreidel. So stay with us now.
Over the years, Chuck Eddy has learned a lot in the car business. But the two most important things are, take excellent care of your customers and give them a great deal. That's why four generations of Eddies has been so successful over the last 41 years of launching, servicing, and selling more new Chrysler products in Eastern Ohio than anybody else. Bob and Chuck Eddy's is now getting ready to open their new Fiat dealership, along with launching three more new Chrysler models, the Dodge Durango, the all-new 300, and the Jeep Compass. And while they're doing that, they want to give you a great deal. All-new 2011 Dodge Calibers, over 200 to choose from, in stock, with more coming at $4,000 off. That's right, $4,000 off on all new Dodge Calibers. So when it comes to service, savings, selection, location, new car launches, and the best deal, it's Bob and Chuck Eddy's Austintown Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep. And remember, you just can't beat them.
This is David Aikman for townhall.com. Russia's Vladimir Putin has had an easy run since becoming president in 1999. Under his regime, oppositions have been jailed, journalists and former Russian spies murdered, and a leapfrog game played between Putin and his hand-picked president Medvedev over who holds power. Well, after the most recent parliamentary elections, Russia's prosperous middle class finally decided it had had enough with ballot stuffing and crony capitalism and took to Moscow's streets. Few people are predicting Putin will leave the political stage anytime soon, but the bold presence of tens of thousands of protesters in Moscow, angry at corruption and stifling of dissent, marks a new era in Russian politics. I'm David Aikman.
The dreidel song. I hope you enjoyed that. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And that song was sung by the children of the Children's Village of Jerusalem. Now, this is the dreidel song, and we'll explain why we played it for you. And, of course, we're going to get into the dreidel here in a minute. But I would like to tell you now that our lines are open. And the number for your end time question or a question about Hanukkah will be 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. And another reminder, our next Shofar Ministries Hour will be Sunday, January 22nd, again at 6 p.m. And if you want to be on our mailing list, either send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or if you use the snail mail and you don't have the internet, just send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And please pray about this. We exist on your donations, and if you can put in a love gift to help keep Shofar Ministries Hour on the air, it would be greatly appreciated, and I know the Lord will bless you. So, what is all this dreidel stuff about?
Well, before I say about that, I would like to mention, too, that if you have a specific topic on the end times, you know, whether it be the Temple Mount or the Antichrist or the timeline or whatever it is that maybe you're questioning, you can email me that or send it to me in a note, and I'll talk about it on the air.
Okay. Would we do a whole show on it?
Like, well, it depends on what it is.
It depends on what it is.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're listening, you think, oh, I wish you would talk about such and such, let me know. And I will. I actually want your input.
Good. That's good.
Okay. So now this dreidel thing. We've actually been playing the dreidel today, haven't we, during the break and stuff.
And of course, you know, this is going to maybe answer the big question. What are you Christians doing playing with dreidels, and why are you making a big deal out of Hanukkah?
And as I said last week, it is a very, very important feast time, because without Hanukkah, we might not have even had Jesus.
Because he wanted to
annihilate the Jews just like Haman wanted to in the book of Esther.
Oh, okay.
You know, and it's been this way forever and ever. I mean, that's what the enemy does. He wants to get rid of the Jews.
So the Hanukkah story, if it hadn't happened that way.
Yeah. I mean, this is huge for us.
And this happened, how many years before the birth of?
Well, it was about 165 B.C.
Okay.
So there you go. And then, of course, we're going to get to, which I said last week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't listen last week, you might want to go to shofarministries.net, click on the radio podcast, and listen to last week's show, because they go into a little more detail as to really why we should be paying attention to Hanukkah. And it has to do with the incarnation of Jesus, which we will talk about before we leave here today, I think.
Okay.
If we don't run out of time.
Yeah, I hope so.
But back to dreidel.
Mm-hmm.
This is a children game, and they play it with a spinning top. It's called a dreidel, which means to turn. And during the times when the Jews were forbidden assembly to pray, they would instead gather and pretend to be playing with this top. You see, the dreidel has four Hebrew initials inscribed, one on each side, that stands for a great miracle happened there. Each player spins, and when it stops, they add the points of the assigned value of the letter, which they have assigned values in Hebrew. And whatever falls face up, they add those points. And after seven spins, the one with the most points wins. Mm-hmm. Now, the sheen was the big one, coming in at 300.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the hay is 5, the noon is 50, and the gemel is 3.
And the letters stand for Nes Gadol Hayah Sham.
Okay.
And that means a great miracle happened here. Now, of course, over there it's Nes Gadol Hayah Po, a great miracle happened here.
Here, right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun little game for kids in that, and the way they can learn their letters a little bit.
Okay. Did we summarize what we did last week already? Did you just do that?
No, you don't remember, John? Where have you been?
I don't know.
No, we haven't done that yet.
I've been with the Christian Scientists.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Someone just turning in wouldn't understand that.
They wouldn't understand that.
All right.
See, that's why it's important to listen right at the beginning of the show.
All right, let's do a quick summary of what our listeners can hear if they choose to listen to last week's program.
Okay. What will they hear?
Sure.
On shofarministries.net.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We explained the history of how Antiochus Epiphanes came to power last week. He was that evil king and ruler over the eastern division of the Greek Empire after Alexander the Great died. He persecuted the Jews and defiled the temple with pig's urine, and put his own face on a Zeus statue, and declared himself God. Whew.
Yeah, pretty bold.
Well, finally, there arose a remnant of Jews from the priestly tribe, and they were called the Maccabees, whose leader was Judah. Kind of reminds you of Jesus from the tribe of Judah, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Who, with God at the helm, of course, defeated this wicked king and cleansed the temple, freeing once again the Jews from sure annihilation. So we should also, as Christians, memorialize this event. And why, John?
Why? Because Jesus might not have been born.
That's right. And you know what? There's another reason for the story.
Yes, there is. And that is the villain of the Hanukkah story, Antiochus Epiphanes, is a type of the Antichrist. And we know history repeats itself.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. So, but what's interesting about all that, you would think that that would be the real miracle.
What, but, a small band of Jews defeating the most powerful army in the world? That's a miracle.
You're right. Mm-hmm. However, believe it or not, they were humble people, and they didn't like to really glory in killing others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they didn't really glory in that. But the real miracle, which is what they really light the Hanukkah candles for, is because when they went into the temple, any joy that they might have had from winning the war was soon turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's abomination.
Or that they desecrated the temple.
That's right. I mean, pigs had been sacrificed, and they erected Greek gods. But they set to work, and the Maccabees cleaned it all up. And finally, on the 25th of Kislev, which is the Jewish calendar, and our December this month, in about 165 B.C., the temple had been cleansed, and it was all ready to be rededicated, except when it came time to light the seven-branched menorah. Now, remember last week we talked about that?
Yeah, we talked about that. This menorah had to, by commandment of God, had to remain lit all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you don't let it go out.
So think how they felt when they could only find one small flask of undefiled oil enough for one day only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this special consecrated olive oil you can find talked about in Exodus 27, but it had to be hand-beaten, pressed olives without the use of heat. So I guess you could call that cold press, which is what we do today. And if you drink cold-pressed olive oil every day, it will help keep you very healthy. Did you know that?
Well, no. That's good. Good information.
But anyway, it takes about, at that time, at least a week to process this. And they were very sad because they only had one day's worth of oil.
And, of course, they already had lit it and begun the process.
That's
so,
right. They lighted the menorah and they thought, well, there's nothing we can do. They went away and started making the oil as soon as they possibly could. And every day when they came in, they saw that the menorah was still lit. And they wondered, oh, my goodness, this has got to be a miracle. And, of course, it was. And that is the miracle of Hanukkah. And it stayed lit for 8 consecutive days until the finished product was processed.
Until the oil, they had the oil ready and it just burned. Now, that is a miracle.
It is a miracle. And it's in memory of that miracle. And along with the rededication of the temple, that Jews everywhere today light another candle every night. But now, instead of a 7-branched menorah, it is a 9-branched candlestick holder.
Hmm.
And, of course, it's 8 candles and 1 shemaz, which I'll talk about every right now. But every sundown, they would light it beginning on the evening of Kislev 24. And guess when that is this year, John?
I'll give you a real good guess. It's Tuesday evening.
That's right. Now, does that change on our Gregorian calendar every year?
Yes.
Right, but it does never change on the Jewish calendar. It's always Kislev 24. And 8 days after that brings you to what? Tevet 1.
Tevet? Oh, the beginning of the next month.
Yes.
Obviously, yeah. Okay.
All right, well, anyway.
Well, that's a new moon.
It is a new moon.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, how does one light the 8 Hanukkah candles? Believe it or not, they do have a traditional way. And I just want to tell you right now that, you know, since we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, just the fact that you're memorializing the event in Hanukkah, you can light them just about any way you want. Well, we'll tell you what the traditional is, but don't feel bad if you don't remember.
Well, we all have to start somewhere.
That's
you
right.
You know, that's right. You don't light the latkes, even though they'll probably burn.
What's a latke?
That's a potato pancake.
Oh,
that's made, and it's made and it's fried in oil, and
yes,
the oil is to commemorate the oil that was miraculously kept that menorah in the temple lit for 8 days.
That's right. So the foods that are usually ate during this time are fattening, but
yeah,
oily.
They are. And that includes the donuts that are fried in oil.
Fried in oil. Okay. Well, anyway.
Well.
So anyway, when you get your Hanukkah candle, and you're going to see eight candles and one that actually is raised.
Can you describe the Hanukkah menorah? Do you have time to do that a little bit?
I think I can.
Yeah. Can you just describe a typical one? Because I'm sure there's a few listeners that probably haven't seen one.
Right. And I did mention this last week also.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one main stem.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the branches come off of the main stem. And the main stem is usually higher. And it's called the shemaz, which means the servant candle.
Okay.
So you have four on one side and four on the other. And you use the servant candle, which is a picture of Jesus, our servant, and you light that, and then you light the farthest one on the right on the first night of Hanukkah. And after that, and this is where it gets a little crazy, but say you get to the fifth night, to make it a little easier. You would light the fifth one first, and then you would go backwards and light the fourth one that you had lit the day before, and the third, and the second, and then the first.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Okay, good. Okay, but now some use little bowls of olive oil on top, like what they used in the temple.
Well, those are the cool ones.
Yeah. I would like to get one of those sometime, but anyway, I don't. At this point, I actually have an electric one, which is nice because I can leave it lit in the window for a long time. But these bowls of olive oil would, you know, stay lit much longer than a candle. A candle only stays lit about half hour, 45 minutes.
Right.
But then you want to place your Hanukkah candle near a window to let others know that your light is shining.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a prayer that goes along with the lighting of the candles, and I'm going to let you take over there.
Yeah, there's actually several prayers, three that are said on the first night, and then after that it's two. But I will give you, we'll give you one right here, and you can go back and check this when we archive this show on how to do this. But this is a great prayer. It acknowledges the fact that God and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, are in this little holiday here. And it goes, "Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. We kindle the lights of Hanukkah." And you are free to say that one, and you can even add more. You can say, thank you for lighting us and allowing us to become the light of the world.
That's right. And you know what? Just because you do Hebrew so well, would you like to just give the first part, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, sovereign of the universe, who sanctified us"?
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner Hanukkah. That's the whole deal right there.
It's just something hearing it in Hebrew, you know, that perfect, pure language that we're all going to be speaking someday, by the way. But anyway, don't worry, you can't do it in Hebrew, but you can do it in English, and you can say really any prayer that you want to when you light your candle.
Because God listens to our heart, and, you know, a prayer from your heart has just as much meaning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what really born-again Christians are all about. We don't say a specific prayer all the time. We speak from the heart. But I think in this case you should always bless the Lord because he deserves to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, call him King of the universe because he is.
And what a picture of the Shamash candle being the light, being our Savior, who gives us the light of the Holy Spirit and allows our lights to shine. And as we share with one another, our lights grow and grow and grow.
That's right. And he's our servant.
He says he is. He is our servant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful picture there. And so I think we should continue on and talk a little bit more about what I said in the beginning about Jesus' incarnation. So.
Oh, okay. So, well, before we do that, I just want to remind everyone that last week, and of course all our previous programs that are archived on our web, we've discussed in detail how we can know that Jesus really wasn't born in the winter months, but much more likely on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Oh, I'm pretty convinced at this point.
Also known as the Greater Feast of Lights, and that's in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember, Jesus called himself the light, and John said he's the light of the world.
I know. So why wouldn't he be born on the Feast of Lights?
Well, wouldn't that be just like God to do that?
It would be exactly like God to do that. That's exactly what he would do.
Our God speaks to us in pictures, and that's written in the prophets.
Yeah.
And that's how we learn. By picture, we learn by what we hear, but we also learn by seeing too.
Yeah, and we talk about in John where Jesus is looking at how when they just got through lighting the four candles in the temple area during the Feast of Tabernacles, and he steps back and he says, "Hey, I'm the light of the world."
Right.
So everything points to him being the light. Of course, he's going to be born on the Feast of Lights. And here's the other. And this is the part I want to really bring home to you, and most of you probably not going to believe it, but I believe it's true, that if you count back on the Jewish calendar from Tabernacles, when I believe he was born in the fall,
mm-hmm.
Which is Tishri 15, if you count back 280 days, which is the normal time of gestation, you come to the eighth day of Hanukkah. And Jesus' number is an eight because it's never ending.
It symbolizes eternity.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're a six, aren't we, John?
Because that's the number of man.
That's right.
Because then we were created on the sixth day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And soon we're going to become a...
A seven.
That's right. But Jesus will always be an eight. Okay. But
well,
anyway,
if he was
incarnated on the eighth day of Hanukkah, mm-hmm. this is also called the Feast of Lights.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called the Lesser Feast of Lights. Because the lights are smaller.
Well,
it's not 75 for candles.
He was just a little...
And he was smaller than
yes.
Oh,
that's kind of cute.
Yeah, that is.
That is kind of cute.
We just did that today, actually. Yes, because he was smaller then. That's good.
That's right.
It makes total sense to me. And believe me, you can figure out when Jesus was born anyway, because he was 6 months younger than John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we know when John the Baptist was born at Passover, and we can just go on and on. I mean, it's just... It's easy to do, but if you still want more information,
mm-hmm.
they can go to my webpage on the archives and
in the fall. Okay.
We talked about this a few times. We've talked about it many times, actually.
So just go to shofarministries.net and
right.
do that, or we'll explain it to you. If you have a question, let me remind you, our phone number is 888-667-6777. So if you have a question about Hanukkah tonight or about end times, mm-hmm. give us a call.
All right. So to summarize that, he was incarnated on the eighth day of the Lesser Feast of Lights and born on the first day of the Greater Feast of Lights. He was born in a sukkah,
mm-hmm.
a place where animals would also feed, according to Genesis 33:17. And it really does look like a little barn.
A sukkah does, yeah.
Yeah.
It does. I often thought that the little manger sets were, if you could trace the history where they came from, a lot of them look like a little sukkah. They look like a little
yes.
tabernacle. And I wonder if that was just where the idea for that came from.
Sure. Sure. And, with our, Gentile background, we wouldn't even think of a sukkah, so...
Yeah, but we all know
where the animals are.
But we would all know what a manger scene is,
and
that's very very cool. I think
it is cool.
Yeah.
So we are blessed because this season of Hanukkah includes the regular traditional Christmas as well. And even though I don't believe he was born during this time, it's certainly in my heart. So every day is Christmas, wouldn't you say?
I say every day is Hanukkah. Yes.
Right. Another point I wanted to bring out that in John chapter 10, we saw how Jesus went to the temple during the Feast of Dedication, and it was in the winter. And remember, we talked about that last
winter
time.
Winter being the clue that it was the feast, the Lesser Feast of Dedication, or the...
Mm-hmm.
It was
because Hanukkah. Tabernacles is dedication as well as...
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just amazing.
So the dedication feast in the winter
with a bit Hanukkah. So he's telling you, first of all, that it's during Hanukkah. And this is the time when he spoke about how no one could take them out of his father's hand or even his hand. But he goes on to say that I and my father are one. So he's declaring his deity. And I think it's interesting that he decided to declare his deity during the season of Hanukkah. Why? Because he left his godhood in heaven and came down as man. So he used this time to declare that he really is God. And now, that had to be what he was doing because they tried to stone him for blasphemy. So they knew exactly what he was doing.
That is just amazing when you think about that. And all good gifts, it says in the book of James, or Jacob, as I like to call it, come down from the Father of lights.
Yes.
And he is a God. Our God is light, and he's the creator of light.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes.
And we can share that light with other people this time of year. It doesn't matter that it's Christmas. It doesn't matter if it's Hanukkah. But this time of year, a lot of people are listening. And
That's right. People's hearts a little softer,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what I also wanted to mention, too, is that the eighth day of Hanukkah would always be on a new moon as far as the Jewish calendar goes.
Okay,
because it's the first of the month, and the first of the month was always the Rosh Kodosh.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Old Testament, they always celebrated the new moon. Why? Because they knew that it was for signs.
I know. And that says that right in Genesis. That's what the moon and the stars and the sun was put there for. Just not just for light, but for signs.
That's right. So maybe December isn't the actual time for his birth, but his incarnation mm-hmm. is even a bigger miracle. And again, look how everyone uses lights at Christmas time in their hearts. Again, as I said before, are they more tender to spiritual matters? You know, he's the light that hung on a tree for you and me.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we use an everlasting tree, a fern that doesn't die.
Okay, a pine tree doesn't.
That's
doesn't
right.
Die.
And you know, some people say, well, you know, we shouldn't be doing that because it's pagan, and it comes from Jeremiah where they would put decorations on a tree, but that was for a pagan god and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't a fern tree either.
Oh, it wasn't. Or you mean a fir tree?
Fir tree. Fern. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I said Christian scientist, so you can say fern, I guess. But and another thing you explained one time that I thought was really good. So you have this evergreen tree, and you decorate it with what you could call pomegranates or fruits or ornaments. Which was on the temple, and also the fruits of the Spirit. You can say it represents that. See?
That's right. Represents the fruit of the Spirit. So enemy tried to take away and pervert.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it back and give it your own meaning and then talk about it.
Exactly.
Talk about what it really means to you and talk about the birth of Jesus to your children. But mention Hanukkah, I think, at the same time. They should learn about these things.
I think they should, too.
A miracle from God, you know?
It is, and it is so important to our walk with the Lord to know him intimately. And if you know Jesus intimately, you know that he celebrated Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And he was very, very likely, from what we've learned tonight, he was incarnated.
That's right. So is your light showing out there if you're listening? Do you brighten up a room when you enter? You know, the world is getting darker, and I pray it is not because the Christians' lights are getting dim. I want to read a couple verses in Romans 13 real quick.
Okay.
In case that you don't understand what I'm saying, if your light is getting dim, maybe this will help spark it. I'm going to start in verse, I'm just going to read 12 and 13.
Hmm?
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says it in a nutshell.
It sure does.
So is your light showing? Please, people, if you're out there listening today and you're really not where you should be, if you find yourself going more towards the world's way instead of God's way, Wake up! Now is the time to repent and get it right.
And the day of salvation is now. And you know, we teach the first century, 1,000-year day picture. And this is the day and the Lord has given you. You know, we are supposed to get, this is the day of salvation. This may end soon.
That's right. And I pray that you will use this story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to perhaps bring someone back whose light might be going out. Ask God to put that someone in your path and then be obedient. Sometimes you even have to be blunt. I detect your light is getting dim, sir, or her. Let me help you.
Wow.
And don't be shy. Just don't let them go along. When you see something like this, interrupt their lifestyle and talk to them about it.
Intervene?
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, intervene. Well, how about you? You don't want to be left behind, do you, listener? If you're not sure you're going to go in the rapture, or you never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned you might be one of those, you just have the head knowledge of him and you don't really have that heart conviction. It's very simple. God made a way for you to be intimate with him and to have your sins forgiven and cast away as far as the east is from the west. All you have to do, get on your knees right now, repent of those individual sins that seem to be hanging on in your life, and then commit or recommit your whole body and soul and spirit to Yeshua. He's the Messiah of all. But remember, it's always your choice. So we're praying you choose him today and make him your Lord over your whole life. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes, and in eternity, you know,
that's right.
Lasts forever.
And I'm afraid our time is up. We have to go. I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas out there. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We're going to see you in January.
January 6th, Friday, 7 p.m. That's Chester Christian Center.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I didn't want to throw that in. We're there live there at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's the first Friday in January. January 6th, be there at 7 p.m. We'll have great worship. Okay? All right. Any and all donations are extremely important to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour right here on WHKW. Remember, we're on the Internet, too. We go all over the world with this. You can use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And all donations automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And you can check out our webpage. Remember, at shofarministries.net, our newsletters and all our previous radio shows are all there for you to go back and study. Okay? And a great study guide also for the beginners to their Jewish roots. That's now on DVD. It's called Hebraic Roots 101, and it's available on the webpage. And if you need any kind of information on how to do this or how to even to get out to see us at Chester Christian Center, just call Sheila. She'd be happy to tell you. She'll give you directions, 440-834-9006.
834-9006.
We need a little music for that
834-9006.
Four directions. Well, we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing tonight, and we'll bless you all. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Oh, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And be sure to join us again January 22nd, Sunday, okay, at 6 p.m. And until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper, and that's not maybe.
That's right, and that's Psalm 122, verse 6. See you next month, next year.
Next year.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net.